Chapter 10. Foolishness. Foolishness, foolishness, foolishness. Doing those things that seem to be a waste of time, those things that have really no profit in them or advantage, but foolishness still is a part of our lives from time to time. And in chapter 10, we're dealing with some rulers. It starts off with a general sense of being foolish activities, but again, it goes back to rulers, which you can see this is probably a circumstance that Solomon found himself in. That even in his progression in life, he did foolish things. And he saw foolish things. And he's explaining that to us, so that we can avoid these pitfalls in life, these diversions of our activities and our energies. And we can be those people, a people devoted to things that are good, devoted to a life that is productive and that as we live under the sun in our physical life, that we can be good to one another. And to use the word that we've used over and over and over, enjoy the life now while you exist. So those are the things, the overriding admonition that Solomon gives us and God gives us. And when we look at beginning in chapter 10, this foolishness, it can ruin things. May I use the word pollute? Okay? They can divert us away. So it can ruin our actions and our intents. And again, there's some rulers that worked that way with foolish edicts, foolish commands. And when you get rulers doing that and authorities in government, it tends to disrupt people's lives. Maybe to the point of losing their wealth, their ambitions, and even their life. So in his day, and again, warning to all rulers and authorities, that you can ruin people's lives by the actions that these kind of rulers and authorities can make. And he starts off in dealing with that. When we think of the things that we do in life, we have reputations and we have influence. And does not sometimes foolish actions, ruin our influence and our reputation? And it's really a shame sometimes that that occurs, but by one act, you can ruin your reputation. That's somewhat what he's getting after in verse 1 of chapter 10, where he says, dead flies make a perfumer's oil stink. So a little foolishness is weightier than wisdom and honor. Just a small amount of foolishness, small amount of foolishness can ruin what you're trying to express to someone, and it's wisdom that you're trying to express to them. I think sometimes that we can say things that really negate everything we've said before that or after that. It may not negate it completely, but it certainly tends to, people would lose confidence in what we say from that point. I think sometimes I've met good people, really good people, and they discuss things and their wise advice from knowledge that they've had, and somehow they'll say the N-word in there. And when that occurs, does that kind of tint somewhat what they've said previously? A small fly can ruin perfume. And so we have to watch that as a wise saying from this man of wisdom, that our words that we choose, the expressions that we have, they can certainly cause one maybe not to take our advice, or at least judge us with some scrutiny. And these are wisdom from this man. You know, we want to influence people, and we can do that by our actions, maybe in our words. And he says, so a little foolishness is weightier than wisdom. It certainly is. Just a little bit can deal with those things where we give good advice to others. So from this man, it's good wisdom to know that. Yes?
There are two sides to that. Reputation can be ruined by something so small. A classic case of David, a great man his whole life. Hey, what do you think of when you think about David? Oh, it's him with Bathsheba. What about all the other stuff? All the Psalms he wrote, all the good tongues. Same thing with Peter. What do you remember about Peter? Oh, he denied the Lord. But wait, what about all the sermons he preached? All the parables he wrote. So that's the bad side for the person who lets their reputation be ruined by that. But the other side of that is, in me judging somebody, do I judge them on that basis? What a mistake it would be to judge David on one out of character event, or one out of character. And yet that's sometimes how we judge people. All we see is a little fly in the ointment, and we don't see all the ointment that's good.
It's a shame, isn't it? And Steve makes a good point that when we look at, again, say David, we don't see all the wisdom that he wrote and the wisdom that God has preserved that he wrote. And when we think of David, the first thing pops up is sin. Same thing in our lives. We can lie one time in the past to a good person, good man, and you remember that. And again, let that temper us when we do say things. And what can we say if we say something wrong? If we say the N-word, what do you do? Oh, I just said that. What do you do? What should you do? That's right. Linda says, I'm sorry. That's not me that did that. Okay? And it's kind of like cursing. You know, people will curse. And if someone is sensitive to cursing, and they don't still hear that a lot, then that's good to say, or the one thing you think about when they do that. So, good advice that he's giving here. You know, a little leaven leavens the whole lump, maybe. Okay? One apple. You know, a rotten apple spoils the barrel. So those are things of life. And again, from wisdom here in this first verse. We talked about recovering from this episode. You can recover from it. Sincerity of heart, and it's hard to do. I think sometimes people say cuss words and they don't even know they're doing it. So they've said it so much. Or people you're around say them. And if it's accepted on the people that you're around, you tend to be part of the group. We want to be part of a group. So you continue to say those things. In wisdom, remember your influence and your reputation for the things that are good and moral. That's our aim in life. Okay? Because one day we're going to answer to our Creator. So wisdom from Him. Okay? Solomon. Yes? It's certainly good, wrong, and you know, and I want others to know what track I went down. And it's all part of teaching in it somewhat, and correction in life. And prayerfully, I think he repented. But let's try to remember the good things about people. The good things about people, especially if they've repented. Okay, and you can see evidence of that repentance. And that's in the idea of saying, I'm sorry. verse 2, a wise man's heart directs him toward the right, but the foolish man's heart directs him towards the left. We have choices in life. And it comes from the heart. What is heart? Something deep down. Something that maybe we've trained ourselves. And it's hard to change things that you've been doing for repeatedly over and over. So these kind of changes have to come from deep down. And as a wise man, heart directs him toward the right. That's the right actions and the wrong actions. Is there middle actions? Well, and we listen to the wisdom of God. There's a heaven and a hell. There's a right and a wrong. Especially when you think of moral and then things that can be sin or not, or are sin. So there is a right and a wrong to that. And the choices in life. And do we take the fork in the road, I guess you'd say. We've heard that expression. Which way do we go? Two choices. In verse 3, even when the fool walks along the road, his sense is lacking, and he demonstrates to everyone that he's a fool. Walking along the road to demonstrate you're a fool. Well, say it's weather like tonight, and you're walking along the road in somewhat less than you have now. So you're in shorts and or little clothing. And, wow, where's their coat? What's going on with them? Say you're walking in the rain, and you're confident you're walking in the rain. Turn lane. Do they have mental problems? It's a foolish action. How come the thing that whatever you wear? And it's a difficult thing that whatever. And that demonstrates everyone's a fool when you have that. It's lacking. By appearance, when their day, what that meant. But certainly people can do by appearance actions. If you watch any YouTube or some of these quick things on Facebook, and jump out of the way in just the last second, that's foolish. That's foolish. Can they influence the things that you say? Yeah, because there's always that question in your mind about them. So it's an interesting point that he makes there. Now, in verse 4, there's rulers. And what do you power from life before a king and a ruler who has a power? Power from life, children away. Power to put you in jail, separate you, to exile you. What? How should you act? And we have 10:4, meekness before rulers. Meekness. Don't be foolish. And in verse 4 it says, if the ruler's temper rises against you, do not abandon your position. Because composure allays great offenses. When you see these authorities rising against you, be cautious. Be cautious, especially since you brought that about. And there's going to be anger produced, possibly meekness. You know, sometimes we can allay great offenses by our composure, can't we? If someone's angry and you're angry back, and they get angrier and you get angrier. Where's the composure? Where's the meekness? Can you influence anyone at that point? It's harder. So he's saying, especially among a ruler and authorities, trying to provoke those things that would cause ones to lose self-control, I guess you'd say. So good advice. Good advice. Mm-hmm.
Like you were talking about, gentle manner. It says it quiets sinners.
Yes, yes. Great, Linda. What happens if I provoke a ruler in these days and I get angry? What's a ruler could do to me? Kill me. Therefore, I can't enjoy life from that point forward, can I? I won't have those things in life that I can be, I can end now. When you have that, does it show rebellion against authority? Yeah. Yes, it certainly could. So be careful. Be careful and show meekness. Again, a lot of this may pertain to that day, but even today it's that way. Now, unequal, the next section, tribulation. There are people with authority, and sometimes you delegate those things to people who shouldn't have that authority. And there can be some unfairness come out of that. Might come out of that. What that really amounts to is foolish men are sometimes honored, while men who are wise, have a wise character, fill the role of servants. In other words, are degraded, demoted. So just be aware of that in life. There's unequal, unfair distribution of authority. And when I look at verse 5, there is an evil. Okay, that's foolishness of using wisdom. I have seen under the sun. I have seen. Solomon has seen. Like an arrow which goes forth from the ruler. Verse 6, folly is said in many exalted places, while rich men said in humble places. Men who have folly, men who don't have proper wisdom or judgment, they can be placed in positions of authority. If you're placed in positions of authority, the execution of that authority can be unfair and unequal. So that's just life under the sun. And maybe people that you could be mayors, it could be government officials, it could be a lot of people, could be in a household, who knows. So he wants you to be aware of that. And really the answer to that is, a ruler elevates or exalts incompetent people to exalted positions, while competent or worthy people or noble people are put in lowly positions of authority. So that's just something, again, maybe particular to his time or things you experience in business sometimes. Okay? All right. And he kind of illustrates that in verse 7 when he says, I have seen slaves riding on horses and princes walking like slaves on the land. And you can see that's just a reverse of positions there. And again, it's exalted, honorable position for slaves to be riding on horses and princes walking. Positions of authority are reversed or unequal. In the next section, 8 through 11, these are things you want some reforms done. You want some changes made. How do you do with a king? How do you do with authority? How do you make changes? How do you get your point across? How do you use wisdom? Well, this first piece here is by conduct. Things you do. Things I can do. And it says in verse 8, it says, he who digs a pit may fall into it, and a serpent may bite him who breaks through a wall. Whoa, interesting. What does all that mean? Okay? If you dig a pit, you may fall into it. Pre-planning, if I can say that. Be careful of the things you do when you're going to deal with reforms and changes and persons of authority, especially if they're foolish people. Because if you don't do pre-planning and thinking about what you're going to do, you can dig a pit, maybe a good operation, but for water, whatever it is. But guess what? If you fall into the well, what's the problem now? Or a serpent may bite you or brace through a wall. Sometimes they had great walls that are made of stones, and there were cavities in those. And sometimes you're dealing with those, okay, and there may be things that may harm you in there. And he used the word snakes, something we don't see every day. But did you stick your hand in a dark hole? You shouldn't, okay? That's foolish actions. So just interesting point, okay? So apply wisdom. Apply wisdom when you're doing that sort of thing. Now, in verse 9, continuing the point, he who quarries stones may be hurt by them, and he who splits logs may be endangered by them. Same idea. Plan ahead. Use wisdom. Be aware of the dangers. And again, when you're expressing reform to a king, don't do it foolishly. For those of authority. I understand, I've heard it from others, especially police officers. When you're pulled over for some reason, and you may not know what it is, I don't know. Maybe you were speeding. Maybe you did a light, red light. When you do that and you're talking to the police officer, do you smart off to them? Say, yeah, I get some donuts in the car, you want them? You say, that wasn't me, I wasn't speeding. I know one police officer I talked to, he said everybody lies to him. There are no honest, that's pretty bad attitude. So, you got to be careful what you say to others, okay? And you can plan ahead. Don't be provocative. Don't provoke anger. Take the punishment that you're due. You can state your point, but you don't need to do it in such a way that you haven't planned ahead. Okay? And this, again, is a speech. In the next piece, if the axe is dull, and he does not sharpen its edge, then he must exert more strength. Wisdom has the advantage of giving success. Does wisdom have the advantage of giving success? Yes. Yes, it does. But the interesting part here, in the first part, is the axe is dull and does not sharpen the edge, then more exert more strength. Wisdom says that a sharp axe will take fewer swings than a dull axe. So planning ahead, thinking what you're doing, you can use less effort. Will it be more difficult if you haven't planned ahead to convince someone, to influence someone? If you're just on the spur of the moment, you haven't thought through what your arguments would be, your approach. Okay. Sometimes with family members, it can be real difficult if you haven't planned ahead, okay, to convince them to change their ways or modify their ways. So, and again, advantage of giving success. Your planning should be wise advice from this man, okay? And in verse 11, if the serpent bites before being charmed, there's no profit for the charmer. No profit for the charmer. Success forming someone must be timely. Don't miss his head around early. So our timing on when we do things, the circumstances that surround it, whatever it is, must be planned out also, isn't it? Not just what you're going to say or what you're going to do. The timing must be
king to have reforms, changes.
I think that's what that means there. Talked about caution when seeking reform by your conduct. By your conduct. Now we're going to go into a section now, 12 through 15, caution when seeking reform by speech. Now we have reform speech involved in the last one, but those were do things. I want to seek reform and changes. So for 12 to 15, folly seldom knows when or what to speak. It's not be foolish. When do I speak? What do I speak? And so in this next section, are the lips of a fool, it says, words from the mouth of a wise man are gracious, while the lips of a fool consume him. Gracious, again, no anger involved here. No degrading another. But again, words from the mouth of a wise man are gracious, while the lips of a fool consume him. Whatever he does, the promotion of winning someone over by your speech is not there. So again, those are things in life. And again, ruining your influence. The beginning of his talking is folly, and the end of it is wicked madness. Here's a person who, at first, the fool's words seem harmless. They're jokes. They're jokes. Is your influence? Can there be innuendo in jokes that harm your influence? But they will grow to be harmful and a danger or even hurtful. Can gossip do that? Ill-founded gossip? Sure it can. You know, someone may say something about your clothing or your hair, do. Or they say something about, you know, how you drive. And is that the thing you remember that they said about you? Well, I've seen you wear that same pantsuit, pants, blouse. I've seen you wear it every Sunday. You wear that. Okay? Is that complimentary? Does it gain influence? I've just made that up, by the way. All right? And so, you know, or you know, someone says, you know, the way you drive. I mean, you drive like there's never a stop sign was ever made. You drive like, you know, 30. You just keep filling in the 3 with an 8, making an 8 out of it. All right? And so that can ruin one's influence, can't it? Especially when you say, you're talking about ideas of judgment and character. So, just things to think about. Any comment? Well, it goes into 14 and 15. And 13 through 15 is the section here, okay? On folly, knowing what to say and when to say it. And Goodland, I'll go ahead and go on to verse 14. Yet the fool multiplies words. No man knows what will happen, or who can tell what will come after him. Well, we may know what that first part means. The fool multiplies words. Speaking words that, can I say word salad? Okay. And that may be an indicator of that. Because what are you going to learn from that? I don't know, a lot of words. And so a fool may be that. Not saying that every bit of many words is foolishness, or they're a fool. But sometimes there's indicators of that. And if I'm trying to tell you what to do in your actions by my speech to influence people to do some action, then no man knows what will happen, and who can tell what will come after him. You know, the man not only speaks foolishness, but says too much. He speaks of things he knows nothing about. He talks like he knows everything. So be careful of any reforms or policies from his speech. He cannot predict the future. So maybe Solomon's experienced this, I guess. Okay? And we may have also. Because again, who knows really what's going to happen in the future? See, can we really predict from circumstances that we're in that's exactly what's going to happen in the future? No, there's always kinks. There's always the unexpected. But, okay, you'll find many words. Again, this is a fool that Solomon is describing, character of a fool. And it's interesting in 15, to just finish out this section, the toil of a fool so wearies him that he does not even know how to go to the city. He's so exhausted. They speak so much that he's trying to go to a city, but doesn't even know how to get to the city. Now, how am I going to judge that person? He's telling me these things. Wisdom, quote unquote, and he's given me directions for my life and how to live my life to influence me to actions, and he didn't even know how to get home. So that leads some negative thoughts about him, isn't it? Okay, about what he just told to me. So be cautious, have caution, okay? And again, how he came up with this, he just did, okay? So, that's that section on foolishness. Now, in 16 through 19, when you're living under these selfish rulers, it's going to be difficult. And he does a couple of contrasts here. In verse 16, he says, "Woe to you, O land, whose king is a lad, and whose princes feast in the morning." That's a contrast. Okay? Verse 17, "Blessed are you." One was woe. Verse 17 is blessed. "Blessed are you, O land, whose king is of nobility, whose princes eat at the appropriate time for strength and not for drunkenness." So we've got one leadership here, one group. Woe, O land. And I'm going to take land as more than land, the people that are being governed by this king and his princes. Okay. These other persons of authority under him. And they act like their children, like a lad. Selfish for themselves. And they feast in the morning. And feast in the morning explains a little bit in verse 17, drunkenness. They get, how can you rule that you're over, okay, for their good if you're drunk? And in verse 17, again, "Blessed you, O land, whose king is and whose princes eat at the appropriate time for strength and not for drunkenness." Foolish. Who know when to eat. Who know how to serve the people that they're over. Do it for strength. Serve the kingdom that they're part of. And they do it for state. They do it for strength that they can serve. They don't neglect themselves. but they also think of the people. Chapter. Those are good things. Those are good things. And again, that's what this really 7 through the end of the chapter is like.
Read those two. Through indolence, the rafters sag, and through slackness, the house leaks.
Men, money is the end for enjoyment, and wine makes life merry, and money is the end, and the house leaks. When it says insolence, it's talking about you're avoiding work. You're avoiding expending yourself. When a king and his princes are self-serving, they don't take care of the affairs of the state, the decay of the rafter, and therefore are unconcerned about the decay of their. They sit at a table eating and making merry while the kingdom, their ceiling, falls down around them. It's an indictment to know, if you're in a position of authority. This is foolishness. You're going to see foolishness. But life under the sun, you're going to see foolishness. That's a foolish law. You're going to see that. So live with it. Live with it. Now, treasonous remarks anywhere. One verse. Treasonous. That rebellion? Yep. His princes. Now we've got a king here who doesn't think quite right. And sometimes his princes don't think they're treasonous. There's going to be a conclusion in there. There's going to be a ramification of that. So he's going to that. Furthermore, verse 20. Furthermore, in your bedchamber, do not curse a king. And in your sleeping rooms, do not curse a rich man. For a bird of the heavens will carry the sound, and the winged creature will make the matter known. Your bedchamber, your wife or your servants may hear you. Tell the king. In your sleeping rooms, that's the lesser areas of the house, may be heard there in the things you say. Rich man may be these other princes. Be careful what you say to others when you're at a party or something. And even the birds of heaven will carry it. Whispers. Whispers. So what he's saying is the walls have ears, the walls will speak, and the hedge has ears. Wisdom warns against treasonous, rebellious speech against those in power and authority. Well, that speech will get back to them, get back to their ears. So this is a warning that he's given here. And you're going to be in danger if that happens to his princes or whatever. Social networks. Secret police, lawfare, things can occur. And you can see now there's to clean up your social network. There's businesses that do that because they can hurt you on your resume or you're applying for a position. Even though we're saying they're good reforms, they're good speech, we've seen some of that. So it's just a warning here that things are going to get back to the king, to those in authority. So tread carefully on that and be cautious. Okay? And don't sin. So that's chapter 10. Is it time? Okay. All right, we're going to go into 11 next time. And again, all this section here from 7 through basically 11 is for wisdom in bad times. He's helping us to not just say there's bad times, but not just recognize that God's in control of everything, and to say characteristics of those in rulership, but to give us some answers on what to do when we're in those situations. Wisdom for these bad times. Okay? Thank you very much. We'll do 11 on Sunday.